Everybody, and we are continuing in our series on the book of Hebrews. Linda preached the first warning. There's four warnings in the book of Hebrews. Linda preached the first one, and you could hear a pin drop in here. I preached the second warning in the book of Hebrews last week, and I've had we talked about sin. Imagine, talk about sin in church. Wow. And I've had at least 8 people come to me in the last week and make a confession. Whether they're not walking with God or they're just junk. And so that's good, because the Word of God should convict our hearts to walk holy with Him. Amen. Because then if it's not that, why are we doing this? Then we're just like, we're the country club at the corner of Marshall and Booth that sits on 7 acres of land. So let's just pack up right now and go pitch our tents and get our trailers out and camp with like the rest of the congregation is doing this weekend. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, it's been a long, hard winter. They deserve to be in their campers, but you know, like Talon Lake right now is filled up with quite a few Gateway people, and I know because and there's a few campgrounds now that if I took you to, you'd say, "Hey, I know you, and I know you, and I know you." But it's all good, summertime. But then we make the excuse, "Well, it's wintertime." Then we make the excuse, "Well, it's the fall," you know. So yeah, so what are you laughing at? So Linda preached the first message, the danger of drifting away from salvation. I have a confession to make. I've been saying this week, and I don't know who I picked it up from you people. I've been saying, oh my goodness. How many of you say that here? So I've been saying, oh my goodness. And then every time I say it, Linda says, oh my goodness. Like, where did you get that? So I was going to say the danger of drifting away from salvation. I said, oh my goodness, you don't want to do that. And then last week, I preached a second message warning was the danger of hardening one's hearts. You remember that one? That was good. You know, it's a danger. It's very dangerous to harden your heart towards the things of God. And this morning's message, and I'm going to motor, it's so no rabbit trails this morning, is entitled The Word and the High Priest. And I trust you will be encouraged and challenged and motivated to apply the Word to your journey and in a greater measure than you are. And if you are at this level, go to the next level. Because the Word of God is everything. Because God's Word discerns our hearts. Discerns our hearts. And how many of you know that we could have deceitful hearts? We could have deceitful hearts, you know? And so what happens is God's Word discerns our hearts. And His Word of a promise is not a lifeless letter. This here, if your eyes have been opened to the glory of God, okay? If your eyes have not been opened to the glory of God, then you're going to think it's a beautiful leather, premium leather. How can a pastor afford a premium leather and book with a lot of words in it? Mine has like 1,500 word pages or something like this. You know, it's funny, when I was in school, I'd have books that were a lot more than 1,500 pages to read. And I would get through it in a week. And yet there's some people who have never even read this in their whole life. And this is a living word. Like this is a, for those of us who our eyes have been opened to His glory, we know that this is a living word. And this word, it discerns our hearts. It knows our motives. It knows the joys, but it also knows the deceit of our heart. And God's word discerns. So a number of things are said about God's word and promises. It says that the word of God is quick, alive, and living. Amen? And the idea is that the word of God is always alive and active. So, Linda, come over here for a second. Just explain. Come on over here a second. And for those of you who are here for the first time, this is Pastor Linda Jeffrey. And so what were we talking about at our prayer meeting the other night? We were talking about the 80-20. So what did that look like?
I was reading out of a little booklet by John Arnott, and he was sharing about a book he had been, or a course he had been going through with John Verkler. And one of the statements that he had made in the course was that every negative thought comes from the enemy, and every positive thought comes from the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to say that Mark Verkler, he had a little test, and he'd been studying this for a long time, and he determined that we default to negative thoughts 80% of the time, and we think positively only 20% of the time. So bottom line is, why in the name of the world would we want the enemy to have 80% of our thought life by thinking negatively? So the way to combat that, he mentioned in this booklet, when you sense negative thoughts or emotion, or to bless, to begin to bless. And then there was a whole other...
Yeah, so isn't that amazing? So this living word, it gets a hold of us, and it's powerful, and it's active, and it's working, and it's energizing, and God's word is full of promise, his rest, his salvation, is powerful, energizing the heart of every believer. So I don't want to be 80% negative. I want to be and only 20% positive. I want to be 100%. And how that's going to happen is I'm going to speak a blessing over this congregation. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I'm going to allow this active word to get into my spirit, to get into my heart, so that I could see with the mind of Christ. And that's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ here today is not condemning you. The mind of Christ here today is loving you because of grace, his grace. And so the word is powerful, it's active, it's working, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it means, and a two-edged sword, it means it cuts. And if it needs to cut some owies and yucky stuff out of you, then so be it, let it happen. Because the victory that comes from those things being cut, how many of you like it when you know that you've been a downer? And you walk away and you think, man, I've been such a downer. You know what I mean? Like, I walk into the room and, like, the room becomes toxic because, you know what, I'm so negative. I'm such a downer. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to walk like that, do they? You know, you want to walk in, you want to walk into a room and say, hey, everyone, I'm here. And guess what? Maybe some of you aren't ready to receive this, but I love you all. Okay? They may think you're kooky, but it doesn't matter. Okay? What would you rather be, a downer or be over the top lover of God? The Word of God is able to penetrate into the deepest recesses of a person's spiritual being. And God's Word sees whether a person actually believes or does not believe in his promises. Right? So it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Word of God is living, and it sees whether our hearts are actual or they're not actual. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, training in righteousness. Amen? And it is, and when we stand on that, God sees all things. He knows if we are making a false profession or if we are truly following him. He knows. We can't hide that. We think that we could hide that. We're in sin, and we think we could hide that. We think that, oh, it's only a little white lie, so he knows it all. He knows it all. And the only reason the gavel doesn't come down is because of the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? So because he sees us as righteous, and if he sees us as righteous, then I want to be righteous. So, you know, I hope that Ashley, I'll use you again. I hope that living next door, a young lady like you, that when you stepped into your driveway to get in your car, that I was always a perfect gentleman and honoring to you and to your mother and to your father and to your family. You know what I mean? I come out of my devotions and I'll come out and who do I see? Ashley with that smile there. And you know what the thing is? You know what I think? I think, man, would I ever like her to be my daughter? You see, that comes from when you're in the presence of God. You look at someone, you say, oh my goodness, like this girl is my sister, this girl is my sister, this girl is my sister, this girl is my sister. And you know what? And I love you and I respect you and I honor you and I value you. And it comes through the word of God and it starts to stir your spirit on. People of the spirit are also people of the word, folks. Okay? You cannot be a person of the Spirit if you're not a person of the Word. The two coincide with each other. So you say, well, I'm a person of the Spirit. I flow in this particular gifting, in this gifting, in this gifting, in this gifting. When's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, I read it 6 months ago. Well, no, it doesn't work. Okay? People of the Spirit are also people of the Word. And the Word and Spirit agree and they work together and they guide you through tragedy and uncertainty. It doesn't mean we have all the answers to everything in the world, but when the Word gets in us and we are people of the Spirit and people of the Word guides us through tragedy and in spite of circumstances. And all of you know, some of you have gone through terrible circumstances in your life, things that are so heavy that maybe I can't even relate to. And you know that the Word of God is carried you. And you know what? Even though your heart is aching and burning when someone else comes along that needs a word of encouragement, all of a sudden you have nothing left to give and you find yourself just speaking blessings into someone else's life because the word is active within your life. And when it's not active within your life, then you're always depending on everyone else to speak a word into you. And it becomes exhausting because people are tired and they're not looking to speak into your life. So, you know, you become needy. Jesus Christ is our supreme great high priest. I love that. Think about that. You know, I could say those words right now, but when you get into the word and that becomes real within your spirit, okay, and that relationship with him becomes real. Okay, then all power is released. Amen. The glorious truth of this word is incredible. The implications of faith and believing are unbelievable. Unbelievable. As the high priest, he is able to sympathize with us. Think about that. Jesus Christ who died on the cross. I love that cross. Ashley, what do you think, Courtney? Do you like that cross? Someone made that here. It's beautiful. They asked Linda, they said, do you want a modern-looking cross or an old rugged cross? And so we said, an old rugged cross. And so that was one of our men. He's not here today. He made that. Isn't that beautiful? And because of that cross, because of that awesome, awesome cross, he is able to sympathize with us. He sits at the right hand of the Father. So why would I not want to know this great high priest who sympathizes with me when I'm in pain, I'm in agony, I'm in everything? He sympathizes with me. He understands every experience, no matter how painful it is. Not only that, he feels right along with us. Wow, it's incredible. Oh my.
Oh my goodness.
There you go, look at that. Have you ever been in a church like this before? You know what? I got to tell you something, Courtney. The pastors in our fellowship, they really love me. Okay? But I'm pretty free. And you know what? Did you know that my personality type, only 2% of the population have it? So that explains what I'm like. There's someone else in our church here who has a exact personality profile, ENFJ. That's what it is? That's her. There you go. So there you go. So it's just like that just rifles through me every time, you know? And so, but the identity of our high priest is found in the word great. Found in the word great. It is used to set Jesus Christ apart from all the other great high priests. Aaron was the high priest who was considered to be the greatest amongst all the Jews. And Jesus Christ is greater than that because he has passed into heaven. He is before the very throne of God. He is in the presence of God himself, and he ministers in the presence of God, and therefore he is greater than any earthly king, including Aaron. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But note, he's also God. Okay? He is divine. The very Son of God himself came to deliver and save men and women and children from death and condemnation. He came to save us. He came to save us, to carry us before the very throne of God. I don't understand everything. Okay, but if I kind of visualize it, so he came to carry us so that we could be before the very throne of God. Can you even get a handle on that one? Like, we stand before, and if we truly believed this, things would be different. Things would be different. It's funny, you know, years ago, we had a lady in the church here, and she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she used to sit right there. And she was going to have surgery, and it was on a Thursday night when I met with her. And she said, "Pastor Ken, doctor told me I have 5 months to live. I have pancreatic cancer." And faith just kicked in. It was like, I didn't even think about it. There were other people around her that were non-believers. And I said, "How many of you here would be opposed if I prayed?" No one ever, and they're like this. We prayed, and she was, and we laid hands on her. And like, I'm a crybaby, and there was just tears coming down my face, falling all over her. I could see it as I prayed. I didn't care. She didn't care. She went home that night, and she told her family, said, "I think the Lord healed me." None of them were believers, not one of them. So here you have this woman walking into the house and says, where the doctor gave her 5 months to live, and she goes to declare to her family, "I don't have cancer anymore, I'm healed." And they're looking like, "You know, are you crazy?" So she goes in, and Dr. Lamont opens her up on a Tuesday morning, closes her up. There was no cancer. Okay? Now, you know what? This story, you know, is an old story. Okay, this happened maybe 10 years ago or something. And I prayed for a lot of people. Okay. But the one thing was, I was thinking the other day as I was preparing this message, when I prayed for her, it's all about God, it's never about a man. Okay? But God does see our faith and stuff like this, and it's all dependent on him. So this has nothing to do with me. But what I know was, when I heard that, in my spirit, I jumped. Okay, it was like, whoa. And then, you know, there's been other times when I've been asked to pray for someone and I've had some apprehensions. And it's been like, oh, I hope this works. So I'm not saying it has anything to do with me, but I have to be in the Word, because the Word will stir up faith. So I'm not talking about whether God will heal or he won't heal. I'm talking about my attitude towards it. It's like, in a second, okay? So when we called Dave Douglas on the other night from the prayer room, I remember when Jerry LaPlante was alive, Jerry was really, really big on when you called the elders of the church to anoint with oil, and he had just moved to Mattawan. I don't know what type of cancer he had, prostate or something. And we all drove down, Jean Bourbonnais and Jerry LaPlante and all of us, we drove down and to his house, and we laid hands on him. And it was so big for him, for Jerry. And so when we prayed on Wednesday, when we called, I told Emily before we went in, where's Emily? We went in and I said, "We're going to call Dave, I'm going to call Dave Douglas tonight and pray for him." And she says, "You know, that was always big on my father's heart, call the elders of the church to anoint with oil." And she says, that's really big with me too. So when I called Dave Douglas, I said to him, Emily is here. And I remember when Jerry LaPlante came and we laid hands on you, he anointed you with oil. I said, well, his daughter has the same heart as that. And she prayed for him doing the same thing. And the faith that was in the room, okay, it was just like, yes, we need to do this. We need to do this, okay? So I asked the question, Lord, show me where you're at work so I could join you. Right there, okay? Without hesitation. Hi. And you know what? You don't go to someone and bombard them with Jesus. You at least find out if their basic needs in life are being looked after. But you do it. You do it. You don't hesitate. And when you're not in the Word, it's hesitation. Okay, it's the difference between regular gas and high test gas. You know what I mean? This is high test gas. You put it in, Holy Spirit. You don't delay. You don't delay. You don't. You know, I'm not talking about a hyper faith but I expect God to do things. Okay, there's an expectation in your spirit. Okay, whether it happens or it doesn't happen, that's not the issue. There's an expectation that he could do anything that he says he can do because he is our true high priest and we believe in those promises. And if we truly believe, things would be different. Our high priest who feels and sympathizes with us, the idea that he actually suffers. And so look what happens, see, when he's with us. When we become sick. When we suffer trials, face temptations, fall into sin, have an accident, feel lonely, sense emptiness, lack purpose, lose a loved one, are stricken with suffering, lack money, are hungry, lack clothes, suffer persecution, face death. He actually suffers and hurts along with us. That's our God. Do you know him? That's our God. Do you know him? He is the one who carries on the glorious ministry and intercession for us. And he has touched every area of weakness and frailty. John 14:1, it says, do not let your hearts get troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We have a high priest who was tempted in all things, just like we are, but yet he was without sin. Don't you wish you were without sin? Can you even imagine what that would look like, to be without sin? Well, I want to hang around with someone who has been without sin, so maybe his influence will influence me too. But if I'm not hanging around with the one who is without sin, then who is influencing me? And that type of influence is not good influence, because then the 80% kicks in. It's all negative. It would be like, oh, man, oh, Ashley showed up today. Boo-hoo, good for her, you know. Like seriously, like, you know. Still love me? Right? So God is sitting on the throne. And he is sitting on the throne of grace. And grace means that God is love. And he longs to shower his love upon you. Okay? He just longs to shower his love upon you. Okay? It doesn't mean that every time you snap your fingers, everything is going to go away. But to go through a situation and just feel like there's a blanket of love all around you, okay? You know, I miss my mom's hugs, okay? But you know what, Mom? Jesus' hugs are even better than your hugs, okay? Well, I think I'm going to not complete everything I had to say today. But the Word of God, folks, is not simply a collection of words from God. It is a living, life-changing, and dynamic that works within us. And we must not only listen to the Word, we must also let it shape our lives. Amen? So Jesus Christ is not a life improvement program. Right? It's not a life improvement program. So I'm going to say one last thing here. It's not enough to go through the Word of God. The Word of God needs to go through you. Right? How many of you have ever heard that? Okay. It is not how you mark your Bible. It's how your Bible marks you, right? It's how your Bible marks you. Let it impact your life. Amen? How many of you like puzzles? How many of you are puzzle people? Has it ever happened to you that you lost the last piece of the puzzle? Has it ever happened that you lost the last piece of the puzzle? Maybe you're on your hands and knees and you're looking all around and then finally it's found. And this is how it is with life, okay? We get into all the things and we place our thoughts in to give us fulfillment. And we keep saying, I can't find the last piece of the puzzle. And meanwhile, God is standing there and he's standing here this morning. And maybe he's even talking to some of you this morning. And he's going, hello, it's right here. Hello, it's right here. Can you hear me? The missing piece of the puzzle is in a relationship with me through Jesus Christ, my son who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. And if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, your puzzle will be complete. Amen and hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. I'm going to ask Randy and Ty, do you have the baby with you? No? Randy and Ty to come and to assist me here this morning.